I had a cue that the boys came out. Okay, let me just say this before I start preaching. Sometimes when an idea needs a big disclaimer, maybe it's not a great idea. But when one at least shows restraint from that idea, and I'll put the horn down, I'll proceed with it. So, Lord knows, and I think you all know that I've used the altar boys as props before in a sermon. But today is the new year. Today is the Feast of the Indiction, the ecclesiastical new year. The one that is not arbitrary on a calendar, like the end of December going into the 1st of January, but with a great and important theological and doctrinal and spiritual significance. Oops. So, with that said, boys, go ahead and take those off and have a seat. Thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Happy New Year. Exactly. Thank you. Today is the, as I said, indiction, the 1st of September, the first day of the ecclesiastical new year. An indiction is any number of years that are put together for a specific purpose, such as the Olympics, such an indiction, because every 4 years the events take place. And it was the fulfillment of and the tradition of and the organization of the Roman government that took advantage of these kinds of types of dividing up the year for their purposes. And so it's of this time in the Lord's judgment, in His wisdom, that He decided to begin His plan of salvation for humankind. And so while Greek is the international language, I suppose we can say, at the time, which is why all of the Gospels and much of the rest of the, excuse me, all but Mark and the rest of the New Testament canon is in that language, because of the time in which Jesus Christ came into the world. And organizationally, in terms of the known world, that included Palestine and Jerusalem, we have this form of government that still, as testament to today, permeates and affects our religious life. The indiction, when things began. Now, things began for us, wow, many months ago, right? We're in the 8th month of the year. That's crazy to know. 9th, wow, yeah. We just began it today, the 9th month of the year. So I won't ask anyone to answer. I'm not going to answer mine either, but you know, how are those New Year's resolutions working for you so far? 9 months into it. You know, has the treadmill been plugged in yet? How about dusting off those books that you were going to read? Or the diet, you know, myself, up and down, you know, 15, 20 pounds constantly, especially this late into the year. So those are the resolutions that we set for ourselves, really, because we have a convenient starting time. We have a convenient dot on a calendar where we can say, well, everything starts anew. We can begin from here, and I'm going to do better. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more faithful. And of course, the church gives us so many of these opportunities, right? With every beginning of a fasting cycle, that is a new beginning. Almost every week has one of these. So we have the little tiny cycles, but they broaden out, right? The circle gets wider when we are in things like the Apostles' Fast or Panagia's Fast, the Nativity Fast, Advent, and of course the Great Fast of Lent and Holy Week. So the church gives us many new beginnings. But this one's a little different. This one has a little extra significance for us to think about, because it was on this day, the 1st of September, when our Lord did what we read about today in Luke's Gospel. It was a significant day, and He chose it specifically. Why? Because again, this was one that the Jews of His day in the synagogue commemorated this new year. Things didn't necessarily begin in January. Even in their religious life, they began in September. And so he goes back to his hometown and he steps into the temple, or excuse me, into the synagogue. And already this is going to be a little confusing because he left as the son of a carpenter and now he comes back a rabbi. So even at then, kind of scratching their heads. But they knew he had some modicum of respect because he was there with his disciples. He was there with people who were studying under him. And a rabbi wasn't necessarily someone who just led a congregation in worship. He was a teacher. Each rabbi had his own disciples so that he could raise them in his way. He could teach them in his interpretation. He could guide them as he was guided and continue on that train of thought that was passed down from rabbi to rabbi. And so there is Jesus standing in the synagogue, close to where he's from. And he opens the book, the prophet Isaiah. Actually, he unravels the scroll. And he preaches that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me. He reads it very specifically. To preach the good news to the poor. The leaders of the temple were not preaching good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. They weren't doing that. And to recover the sight to the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed. They were oppressing more than they were setting free. And they themselves, in leadership, were quite blind. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Again, the new year begins. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all eyes of the synagogue were then fixed on him. There was silence. And then in boldness, he says that today this scripture has been fulfilled in me. Very early in his ministry, in his hometown, in his own synagogue, proclaims that these words given from the prophet Isaiah, very boldly and very confusingly, I have to say, to those who were hearing, were aghast. They were silent. They were stricken dumb. As the son of Joseph the carpenter proclaimed that he is the answer. He is the fulfillment. He's the Messiah. That's what he said. And they're sitting very much like you are right now. But think about all the times when he didn't just say something, when he did something. The multiple examples in the scriptures, when Jesus performed a miracle and people were not wondering at the gracious words or things that proceeded out of his mouth, or in the case of the miracles, the work that came forth from his hands. Yes, they were confused oftentimes. But then oftentimes, others were jealous. Others were angry. Others were disbelieving. Others wanted him gone and away as fast as he could depart from them. But at least today when he introduces, to the people of his village, that he is the fulfillment of what the prophet promised. They were positive. They wondered at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. So we have an opportunity on this 1st of September. It's beautiful that it happened to be on a Sunday this year, because I can tell you, I would not have paraded out with a Happy New Year hat. And God bless the boys. They did it because I said, well, wear these. And they went, really? I went, yeah. So thank you for being obedient, guys. But the thing is this new year, this spiritual new year, this doctrinal, theological, Christ-centered new year begins today. And you may not realize how much revolves around this beginning. These icons, the small ones that are placed on the top of the iconostasi, they mark this year. The last major and significant feast that the church celebrates in August is, of course, the Dormition of the Theotokos. And again, not by circumstance, but by His incredible plan and the specifics of His teachings. The year then begins with the nativity of the Theotokos, which will also be on a Sunday this year. It will be next week. And so the year ends with her death. The year begins with her birth. In other words, with the proclamation that salvation has come into the world through her precious womb, and salvation is given not only to this world, but to the world hereafter as He receives her precious soul. Make no mistake, the lessons of the beginning of this year should ground us in the patterns of keeping sacred every moment that we possibly can in our lives. You've heard me say before, I printed on last year's calendar, that when our calendar is Christ-centered, then our every day that we mark off on that calendar is Christ-centered. If we are measuring time, not by what our phone says or what it says on our refrigerator or bulletin board, but in our hearts, in the seasons of our ecclesiastical year, in the cycles of our ecclesiastical year, in the celebrations and the blessings of our ecclesiastical year, then time is as sacred as God has intended it. In Greek, there are two kinds of time. I believe I may have shared this before, but forgive me for repeating. There is kairos, which is God's time, and chronos, which is like chronology, a linear time. It's got a beginning, it's got an end, like everything I've talked about today. It has cycles. So somewhere in between that beginning and between that end is our life, is what we do with that time. Kairos is God's time. It's eternal. It has no beginning and never did. It has no end and it never will. It's not linear. It's constant and in the present all the time that ever was and ever was and is and ever will be in Him. There is no possible way that we can comprehend. But this is how God's existence is described and understood. No start, no end. It just is. And by His grace, we live within a context of that reality. But through the fall, humanity in this world has a beginning and has an end. But only of this world. Because in eternity, as expressed through the final day, or the final major celebration in the ecclesiastical year on the 15th of August, we are given a most precious and an intimate and a loving look into each and every one of our future. God gives us that as a kindness, because perhaps His own resurrection from the dead, His own rising into the heavens, is too fantastic and amazing for us to comprehend. But it can sure begin to make sense when His own mother passes from this life, and there He is, as reigning God and the King of the universe and all that exists, to receive her precious soul. And we begin again with this day, and we look forward to, in 1 week's time, to celebrate the birth of the Theotokos into the world by our matron, Saint Anna, who has her hand in salvation, whose ministry began this process, and whose loving kindness and prayers and protection and grace continues to permeate and to wash over this precious community. So once again, I wish you a happy new year. I hope that whatever resolutions we may make on this day will be Christ-centered, not exercise-centered or weight loss-centered, but will be grounded in Him. This is the day that the Lord has made, and it is marvelous in His eyes. Amen.